Now, for many years, the skeptics rejected that account on a scientific basis. Its description of a tremendous crackling roar and the very elements disintegrating in flames was too much for a scientific man to accept. For the heavens to blaze and dissolve and the elements to disintegrate in a fearful heat described the very burning of the air and other non-combustible materials, and everybody knew that was impossible. But in the years that followed, scientists disapproved the skepticism of the scientists. We can learn a great spiritual truth through an object lesson by which God instructed his prophet Jeremiah. The account is recorded in Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." Now the object lesson is very impressive. Israel was marred and less than God designed her to be. So in like manner, all mankind is marred and less than God intended him to be. And in like manner, the whole creation is marred and less than God purposed it to be. As God can remake a man by grace, and as he can remake a nation by grace, so he can and will remake the whole universe by grace. The object lesson God gave to Jeremiah is a picture of how God will remake the creation which has existed these many millenniums under the curse of sin. Our present series of studies is seeking information from the Bible concerning the future of this world in which we live. We have found God's promise, guaranteed by His Word and the Spirit in the believer, that He will give a new creation marked by righteousness as the present one is marked by sin. So what procedure will God follow in bringing the new universe? Consider first that God has given repeated promises of the new creation. He announced through the prophet Isaiah, "I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I will make shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain." God repeated that promise in the New Testament, saying through the Apostle Peter, "We, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Now God's promises are sure. Those yet unfulfilled are as certain as those long since fulfilled. He promises because He performs. He promises to assure the hearts of men and to reveal to men what shall be. And He has promised to restore the creation to its glory and perfect righteousness enjoyed before the fall came to man. Wise men are persuaded that what He had promised, He is able also to perform. Now God has announced the passing of the old creation. The old creation must pass away in order for the new to come. And God said through the prophet Isaiah that the new would so completely replace the old that the former creation would not at all come to remembrance. That theme is repeated over and over in the New Testament. Jesus announced the temporary nature of this world, in contrast to the permanence of His words, saying, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." The theme spoken by the prophets and confirmed by the Lord was taken up and repeated by the writers of the New Testament. So Paul warned the believers in Corinth, "The fashion of this world passeth away." And John wrote in his first epistle, "The world passeth away, and the lust thereof." The writer of the Hebrew epistle spoke twice of the transitory nature of the present creation. Hebrews 1, verses 10 through 12 reads, "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Now Hebrews 12, verses 25 to 28 warns of a great shaking which will test all things. The heavens and the earth will be shaken and removed in that day. The New Testament indeed agrees with the Old that a change is coming in the universe. The Apostle Peter gives the most complete description to be found in the Bible of the exact method by which the present creation will pass away. He wrote, "The heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. The heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat." Now for many years, the skeptics rejected that account on a scientific basis. Its description of a tremendous crackling roar and the very elements disintegrating in flames was too much for a scientific man to accept. For the heavens to blaze and dissolve and the elements to disintegrate in a fearful heat described the very burning of the air and other non-combustible materials, and everybody knew that was impossible. But in the years that followed, scientists disapproved the skepticism of the scientists. They learned that the atom could be split, and with the splitting of the atom, the very air is consumed in terrific and indescribable heat. So the things described by the Apostle Peter are now recognized to be scientifically possible and have been experienced in a small way in the explosion of atomic bombs. If we should attempt to explain 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 12 in scientific terms, we would say that God will split all the atoms of the universe simultaneously. There will be such an explosion as the world has never known, a heat beyond all description, and the present universe will be no more. God set the laws in the universe according to His design, and scientists have searched and found out some of those laws. Now, man's knowledge of them does not change them. The dissolving of the universe will not be the result of an atomic accident by man, but will be on God's timetable and by His personal act. God has described what the new creation will be like. The Bible repeatedly speaks of the new heavens and the new earth with which God will replace the old. It is interesting that in every instance where reference is made to the new, the same word is used in the Greek text, even though there are three words for new in Greek. Now, there is a significance to the term new, which describes a creation that is yet to be. The Bible uses the Greek term kainos, not the Greek term neos, nor the phosphatos, because phosphatos means fresh or new as a newly opened flower. Neos means new in respect to time as the dawning of a new day. But kainos, the term used to describe the new heaven and earth, means new in quality, having a different nature from what is contrasted as old. It is used to refer to the new man one becomes through faith in Jesus Christ, referring to the spiritual and moral change after the pattern of Christ. Kainos means the future world will be superior in every way to the world that is now present. Now, only a new people will inhabit that new world. To share in the new creation, you must become yourself a new creation in Christ Jesus, as 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. Anyone who comes to God in repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ is made a new person. He is born into a new life, resurrected out of spiritual death, given the nature of God, receives eternal life and a multitude of other spiritual blessings. That is why he is permitted to live in the new creation as a citizen of the heavenly kingdom. Oh, be ready. Be saved today.